this coming week is Tu Bishvat. Tu Bishvat is a holiday which very often gets looked over or passed over. And the reason why is because there is no Isser Melacha. It's a Yom Chol. It's a regular weekday. And there aren't any outstanding parameters that can remind us of the significance of the day itself. But perhaps on Shabbat is a time to reflect on the significance of Tu Bishvat, because if you look at the texts, or the various texts of Chazal, and certainly of the Torah itself, it appears that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw trees, eitzim, as a conduit with which how exactly man is expected to behave, and how we are expected to forge forward and forge a relationship with Hashem and the world that He created around us. In Bereshit Perek Bet Psukim Chet through Tet, the Torah says, very strangely, in the creation of the world, Vayita Hashem Elohim Gan Be'eden Mikeden, Vayasem Sham Et Adam Asher Yatzar. God, it appears, Vayita, planted this tree in Gan Eden, and He placed in the garden Adam, the man Asher Yatzar, that He too created. Vayitzmach Hashem Elokim mina adama, kol eitz nechmad lemare, v'tov lemaachal, v'eitz achayim betoch hagan, v'eitz adat tovara. The Torah then goes on to describe the specific trees that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed to grow. Again, it appears that there is this verbal action by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayitzmach Hashem Elokim min ha'adama. God caused these trees to grow from the ground. Ultimately, we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is responsible for all growth and development in this world. But nonetheless, it is difficult for us to comprehend or understand why exactly does the Torah emphasize Vayita Hashem Elokim Gan Be'eden, Vayitzmach Hashem Elokim Min Ha'adah Amah Kol Eitz. Was HaKadosh Baruch Hu a gardener? Does the Torah want to imply that we are to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu's precise actions with regards to gardens, or gardening, or planting, or causing something to come to fruition and growth from the ground? What exactly is the significant message whereby the Torah dedicates two psukim which outstandingly demonstrate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's actions with regards to planting, gardening, and ultimately seeing the growth of trees? Rav Shlomo Aviner points out that the greatness of the first pasuk, Vayita Hashem Elokim Gan Be'eden Mikedem, is the end of the pasuk. Vayasem Sham Et Adam Asher Yatzar. He placed man there, the man who He created. What is this Asher Yatzar? Asher Yatzar, says Rav Aviner, represents an opening statement. It represents a Kadosh Baruch Hu's invitation. Hashem is not the one who exclusively creates, but rather a Kadosh Baruch Hu is inviting man to plant together with Him. A Kadosh Baruch Hu invites man on this joint venture by which he too will partake in the creation and the development and the construction of the world around him. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein Shalita points out that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam HaRishon, he says, le'ovda u'le'shomra, to work the land and to watch over the land. Were the world perfect, or had the world been created to its perfection, there would be no need, says Rav Aaron, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to invite man in the first place. Rather, HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed the world kiviyachol in a situation in the various ramifications by which man would be encouraged to perfect the world together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what it means by Mekadesh Shem Shamayim. This is what it means to be Mekadesh et ha'olam kulo. Not only obviously is HaKadosh Baruch Hu involved in sanctifying the world, but He expects from us that we partner with Him in this wondrous venture of sanctifying and indeed allowing the world around us to grow. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects from us to invest an effort to have patience to allow things to grow. It's interesting. I recall once I was sitting around with a group of students, young students, post-high school students, and I asked them, what do you guys want to do when you grow up? Something, a concept of growing up perhaps many times, particularly for teenagers, is very, very foreign to them. And one of the boys raised his hands and he said with me in curt honesty, he said, when I grow up, I want to be a corporate raider who makes his first million in his first year of work. Well, to me, I said, it used to be when we were younger that we never thought of such a concept. When you ask someone what he wants to be when he grows up, so he would say a fireman, a doctor, a dentist, a rabbi. Okay, maybe not a rabbi. But certainly it is not a Jewish concept to say, I want to make my first $1 million and sit and retire for the rest of my life. Judaism requires from us to turmoil, requires from us to invest our efforts, our energies, in order to encourage the persistence and the existence and development of the world around us, both spiritual, of course, but also the physical sustenance that is so necessary for our existence. And therefore, in the Medrash describes, the Kadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu, Lech lecha me'artzecha, go and look el ha'aretz asher areka, to the land that I will show you. The Torah doesn't necessarily demonstrate to us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Avraham which land we're talking about. Now, Avraham knew which direction to go. He may have known in which way to point himself towards, but a precise location was not given to him. The Medrash says that Avraham came across a group of people, farmers, chalutzim, pioneers, who were sitting and working hard over the land. And Avraham said, this is the place, this is the land that I want myself and my children and my great children to inherit from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, Avraham instinctively knew that Eretz Yisrael would be a place in which we have to toil, in which we have to invest. He instinctively understood that Judaism dictates that there are no free lunches with regards to spiritual progression. And therefore, that is what Eretz Yisrael represented, and this is represented to us from the very inception and the creation of the world by means of the trees. Even HaKadosh Baruch Hu planted trees in Gan Eden, demonstrating to us that no fruits come out of our labor unless we labor first. The Gemara in Shabbat, and Daf Samech Zayin Amud Aleph, has an interesting discussion whether or not a person is allowed to use various things that may have been used for Avodah Zarah for the sake of refuah, for the sake of healing medicinal purposes. The Gemara says, are we to understand ha'ein bo mishum refuah yeshuo mishum darkei ha'emuri? Are we to understand that if there is no medicinal benefits to a product, that therefore it becomes a problem of Avodah Zarah? The Gemara says, but we see, Behatanya, the Braita tells us, Ilan Shemashir Perotav Sokro Besikra V'Toano Ba'Avanim. If a person comes across a tree that looks unhealthy, that is withering away, the Gemara proposes that one should do one of two things. One is to paint the tree or mark the tree red, in a red paint, and the second is to weigh stones from the tree. Bishlama to'ano ba'avanim. The Gemara says, I understand why you put rocks from the branches of the tree. Ki hechi delechush chile. Perhaps this will strengthen the tree. It will encourage the tree to strengthen itself and be able to hold the rocks up, and therefore the roots will grow stronger. Elasokro besikra may refua kavod. But when you paint the tree red or mark it by X marks the spot on the tree, what kind of medicinal purpose is this? How does this help for the health of the tree? The Gemara says ki hechi dilechazia inish v'libo alei rachamei. No. There is no intrinsic healing process by painting the tree red. But when a person sees the tree, and he sees that it's painted red, he will ask, it will remind him that he should ask for a refuah for the tree. He'll then be incited to daven, to offer tefillah, for the sake of the health of the tree itself. Now obviously, ultimately what's most important in the world is mankind, our fellow men, certainly our Am Yisrael. And therefore I think what the Gemara wants us to understand is, of course we don't want to walk around worrying and praying for trees. I mean, that is, while it might be important for the ecology, and we want to be sensitive to a green environment, it's not the end-all that meets all. But what the Gemara is encouraging to us is to demonstrate, certainly, if we do so for a tree, how much more so we have to demonstrate sensitive behavior and compassion for the sake of mankind. How sensitive we have to be to the longings and the needs of people around us, particularly when they are handicapped, particularly when they are physically challenged and ill, Rahman al-Islan. We have to awaken ourselves so that we are compassionate and we ask for their refuah. The trees, the Gemara demonstrates, are serving as the reminder to us of how sensitive we have to be to the mankind around us. Now we can understand the context of tefillah that we recite on Friday evening. Much of the tefillah on Friday night on Shabbat revolves around Mashiach Tzidkenu. And in one of the Pirkei Tehillim that we recite, in the Lechun Ranana, Yismechu HaShamayim V'Tagel HaAretz, Yiram Hayam Umlo, Yalo Sadai V'Chol Asherbo, Az Yirananu Kol Atzei Ya'ar. We say, or it describes David HaMelech, all of these wondrous, glorious events. The sea will rumble, the sea will fly high, these heavens will burst out in song. And at the end, what is the final echelon, what is the final end to this entire synopsis? Says the Pasuk, Az yiradanu kol atzeyar. The crescendo is, all of the trees will burst out in praise to God. Now if I had to think of the crescendo with regards to the day of the Mashiach, I would think that the awakening would not be the trees, but rather the awakening would be mankind. What it should say in the Pasuk is, Az yiradanu kol anshei olam. All of mankind will burst forth in trees. In song, rather. But perhaps what the Pasuk wants us to understand is as follows. The trees, once again, serve as an example for all of mankind. When is the Rosh Hashanah li'ilanot, the holiday of the new year for trees? According to Beit Hillel, Tu Bishvat, Beit Shammai, Aleph Shvat. But either way, both of them agree that it's in Shvat. The time of the winter, the heart of the winter, freezing cold. A tree slowly loses its leaves, and as the tree loses its sustenance, it's on its last limb. And it calls out desperately to who? To HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Az yiradanu kol atzeyar. The Rosh Hashanah li'ilanot reminds the trees that even they are dependent upon the glory of Hashem. They desperately call to Shamayim to remain alive. This is symbolic of the expectations of mankind as well. Ultimately, all of mankind must succumb to God's greatness in order to ensure our success. And therefore, Rabotai, even through Tu Bishvat, Rosh Hashanah li'ilanot, the trees serve as reminders for us of how we have to exert our efforts and how we have to invest in Vayita Elokim Began Eden and how we have to be Asher Yatzar. We have to be the ones to be creative and certainly to exert a certain amount of earnestness to ensure that this world survives. But at the same time, As Yerananu Kolatseyar, the trees remind us that we have to recognize who is responsible for our survival and for our perpetuation. Melo chola aretz kvodo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo b'atzmo. In Birkat Hashem, when we recognize both of these significant factors and use them to incite a greater and encourage a greater growth towards our understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we'll be zoche to celebrate Rosh Hashanah Lilanot, Rosh Hashanah La'olam, Rosh Hashanah La'anashim, and as a result of that, witness the Geulah Shleima. Shabbat Shalom.